open our Bible to Esther chapter 9. Lord willing, we'll try to look at verses 1 through 19, and then next Sunday, we'll try to finish up the book. I'm not sure now which book we'll go to. Someone asked something about Hosea. We may try to look at that. So just ask you that you'd pray that God would give me wisdom to know where we need to look. Verse 1, now in the 12th month, we've looked at a couple of these verses before, but I'll look at them again today. In the 12th month, that is the month Adar. Some believe that is in March, the month of Adar, on the 13th day of the same, when the king's commandment, his decree, drew near to be put into execution. The day that the decree was made that the Jews should have been executed and slaughtered. But, you know, then there was another decree made where they could defend themselves. In the day that the enemy, watch this, in the day that the enemies of the Jews, they hoped to have power over them. Can you imagine how the enemy thought? We can't wait. We're going to have power over them. We have the law on our side. We're going to do with them as we see fit. Though, here's the grace, it was turned to the contrary. The Jews had rule over them that hated them. We have so many enemies. It's not just the world and Satan. Our worst enemy is ourself. We saw that Haman is dead now, but Haman is such a picture of the Amalekite, such a picture of your flesh. Your flesh. That gives you more trouble than anybody else. Your flesh. That which born of the flesh is flesh, and it will never be anything but flesh, and it's your enemy. Always lurking. Always trying to get power over you. Always. But God in His grace has given us rule over our enemies. He said, sin shall not have dominion over you. Now you just think about that statement. I think many times we just quote that without really thinking. Sin shall not have dominion over you. And it won't. Now before you were converted, it did have dominion over you. And there's at times it may still seem like it has dominion. But it can't dominate you. It can't. Because you're not under the law. You're under grace. Under grace. It can't rule. It can't, Christ reigns now. Grace reigns. Grace reigns. That they hope to have power over them, but the contrary, the Jews had rule over them that hated them, and they do. Rule, authority, because it's in Christ. Because Mordecai reigns, they have the rule. That's how. It's because Christ reigns that we have the rule. Then verse 2, the Jews gathered themselves together in their cities throughout all the provinces of the king Ahasuerus, to lay hands on such as sought their hurt. And no man could withstand them, for the fear of them fell upon all the people. They gathered together. And I thought, as they gathered because they needed each other. Because everyone else, especially the Amalekites, hated them. Hated them. We come and that's what we've done this morning. We've come and we've gathered here. God's gathered us here. Where two or three are gathered together in His name, He said, I'll be in the midst. As a hen doth gather her biddies under her wings, someone else does the gather. He gathered us here and He gathered them together. From different places they came together because they needed each other and they needed to encourage each other. Why? Encourage against our enemy. We come on Sunday morning, and I pray the lessons are an encouragement. We're reminded of who our enemy is, but we're reminded that Christ sits upon the throne And I know what each of us need. We all need encouragement. We all need each other. We may not think we do, but we do. We're not an island. Sheep gather together. If you see a sheep by itself, something's wrong. It's I know it's at least sick. It may be dead, maybe not been found yet, but we need each other. They were gathered together, and their objective was the same, to lay hands on such who sought their hurt. Now, you know, you can apply that to the world. They hate you. They don't love you. They seek your hurt. In your flesh, it seeks your hurt. It seeks to wound your conscience. It seeks to wound your conscience. But notice this. It said there in verse 2, no one could withstand them. No one. As I mentioned last week in the book of Ephesians, that wonderful book, it lays down the doctrine of the grace of God, the mercy of God, God's favor toward his people, and it winds up like this. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places, and having done all to stand, what am I to do? You stand, therefore. Martin Luther said when they called him in, before you can imagine all those hierarchies, he had nailed the thesis on the door, and he said, here I stand, I can do no other. They could not withstand them. They could not. In Isaiah chapter 59, verse 19, so shall they fear, because it said in verse 2, they feared, the fear of them fell upon all the people. Why are they afraid? It's not Israel that needs to be afraid. It's the enemy of God that needs to be afraid. It said fear fell upon them. Isaiah 59:19, so shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west and his glory from the rising of the sun. Now listen, when the enemy shall come in like a flood, just a raging flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. And that's how he does. They're the ones that are afraid. But he comes in like a rushing flood to destroy everything. God says, I'll lift up a standard against him. I'll lift up the gospel. I'll lift up the banner. I'll exalt Christ, who is the standard. The fear of them, fear, fell upon the people. You imagine fear just falling. You know, you've had times where it's like fear just fell upon you. It's like it overcome you and you couldn't explain it. Remember, it's been several years ago. I thought I was having a heart attack, and what happened, my body was just trying to cope. It was basically going through DTs from quit chewing tobacco. For 30 years, you don't just do that. But it was for 2 or 3 days, it was so much anxiety. I've never experienced anything like that in my life. It was fear. Fear fell, and to think that fear fell upon these people, why? They had reason to be afraid. They had a reason to fear. The wicked flee when no man pursues, but the righteous are bold as a lion. There's more of us than there are of them. And you know who they are afraid of? They're not afraid of you, but they are afraid of God, and they need to be. They ought to fear God. It's like, you remember when Haman went back to his home and his children and his wife and his friends were there, and he told them that he had exalted Mordecai and had to lead him through the streets, and they go, oh, if God's for them, you're in a mess. If God be for you, now listen, if God be for you, who can be against you? If God be for you, who can be against you? Either God is God or he's not. What we see in this little book is how God works in providence to save his people and to deliver them from the brink of woe. delivered them. And now, instead of them being afraid, the enemy's afraid. Verse 3. And all the rulers of the provinces and the lieutenants and the deputies and the officers of the king. Now, I would think most all those were probably lost men. They were probably Persian infidels. But it said these from all parts. They were lieutenants. They were deputies. They were officers of the king. They served the king. They obeyed the king. And what they did? All of them helped the Jews. Why didn't they help Haman's bunch? Why did they help the Jews? Because God put it in their heart to help them. Go back and read, I think it's the book of Ezra, when God sends them back to Jerusalem after they'd been in Babylonian captivity. How are they going to go back? Where are they going to get the money to make the trip? Where are they going to get the money to build a temple? They don't have any money. They've not been working. They've been slaves. A man named King Cyrus, who was a lost man, put the whole bill. You know what he just did? He helped the Jews. The world helps God's people. Now you remember that. That's what they do. The elder shall serve the younger. We don't serve the world. The world serves us. That's how God has set it out. And he said, these people help the Jews. God can and does even use his enemies to help his people. We are all his servants. He even used Haman to bring glory to his name. The wrath of men shall praise him, and the remainder of it he'll restrain. Let me give you a few verses. Acts chapter 26, verse 22. Paul standing before a king. And he said, having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day. That's where our help comes from. Now, he may use infidels. He may use a lot of people. But it's God that helps us. Remember Samuel, when they had been defeated by the Philistines, and then God gave them the victory. And they named the place, they set up a pillar called Ebenezer. It was a memorial. It was a reminder. Hitherto hath the Lord helped us. You know why we're here today? Lord's helped us. He's helped us. You needed his help yesterday, you need it today, and you'll need it tomorrow. He's helped us. And a memorial. There, he helped me. He helped us. Let me give you a few more. Remember when Jehoshaphat went into battle with Ahab and he was discovered that he was the king of Judah, not the king of Israel. And Jehoshaphat, you can imagine, he's in a pickle. Those people could have killed him in a heartbeat. But it said Jehoshaphat cried out, and the Lord helped him. And God moved those wicked, vile men to depart from him. Let that just sink in. A lot of times we get in a pickle. We don't even know how we wound up there. But the Lord delivered him. He helped him. He sure needed help. Psalms 116, verse 6, the Lord preserveth the simple. I was brought low, and Israel was brought low. But the Lord, he helped me. And listen to this. I've quoted this verse several times. Now I want to quote it again. It's in Revelation chapter 12, verse 16. In that chapter, it's a picture of Satan standing before the woman, like before Mary, just waiting to devour Christ when he comes into the world. And he's born and he ascends up to heaven. So you know what he does? He turns on the woman. He turns on the church. Now I'm going to destroy her. So you know what he does? He sends a flood. When the enemy comes in like a flood, he sends a flood out of his mouth to destroy the church. And you know what that flood is? It is a flood of heresy. It's a flood of damnable heresy, false doctrine. It's a, look at it. It's just like it floods everything. Everything's destroyed. And what happened? The earth, humanity, swallowed it up. Do you not see how the world, they just swallow it up. They don't even question it. They just swallow it up. And why do they swallow it up? To help the woman, to help the church. You mean by them swallowing that up, they help the church? That's what he said. And that's what he meant. These people help them, and you mean all the world helps the church? That's exactly right. It's amazing how everything was against them, but in reality, everything was for them. It may seem like everything's against you, but it's not. It's like Jacob said one time, all this is against me. No, it's not. It's all for me. Even heresy? Yep. Even everything that's going on in the world? Yes. Not some things, all things. Psalms 46, verse 1 through 3, God is our refuge and strength, the very present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters are of roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. Verse 5, God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her. And that right early. God's going to show these people in Persia that he's God. He's God. And it said there the fear of Mordecai fell upon them. The wicked, they fear our God. As I said, the fear fell upon them. Let me read you this in Acts 19, beginning in verse 16. What this man was doing, he watched the disciples. And the disciples had the ability to cast out demons from people. So this man thought, oh, I can do that. I can do that. And he come up and he said, this man was possessed. And he said, in the name of Jesus that Paul preaches. And you know what that demon said through that man? He said, Jesus I know and Paul I know. But who do you think you are? They know who our Lord is. And they know who preaches gospel. They know. And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped upon them, so they were more than one. And they overcame them and prevailed against him. They didn't know what they were facing. So that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. Can you imagine? I'd say that was in the newspaper the next day, wouldn't you? Idiot tries to cast out devils by himself. And this was known to all the Jews and the Greeks dwelling in Ephesus. Everybody knew about it. And what's this next statement? And fear fell on them all. Can I tell you a little secret? It is real. Those who worship false gods worship devils. They are possessed. Yes, they are. They're not just out here gathering around a pentagram. They worship devils. You don't want to cast out devils? The Son of God. And he does when he sets sinners free. Not by your strength, not by your effort. But when everybody saw it, they knew it, they were afraid. And the name of the Jor and the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. They knew who did it. They know who did it. He's the only one who can set you free. He's the only one that can deliver you. men think they talk to the devil and tell him they're going to send him back to hell. They don't know who he is. You go, why was Haman like that? Because the seed of the woman hates the seed of the serpent. And Cain, that seed, still hates Abel. Hates him. Let me read on there in Acts. And many that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds. And many of them also which used curious arts, their enchantments, came and confessed and showed their deeds. And many of them which used curious arts brought their books together and burned them before all men. And they counted the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver. And so mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. You see how he even used that. He even used what that man did to bring glory to God. And many believed. They said, I don't want anything to do with that. That was a bunch of money to bring all them books. And they said, we're going to have a book burning. We're getting rid of them. You know why? God sent a preacher to a place called Ephesus. And now we have a letter that was written to the book of Ephesians. To the church at Ephesus. It was a wicked place. But God came to set his people free. That's what I want you to remember. God will set his people free. He will. Verse 4, and Mordecai was great in the king's house, and his fame went out throughout all the province, for this man Mordecai waxed greater and greater. His fame went out. Who is this man Mordecai? Everybody began to hear of him. It talked about the fame of David went into all the land. And the fame of Joseph was heard in Pharaoh's house, the fame. And another one I thought about was the Queen of Sheba. I don't know how far it was from where she was at from Queen. It was a pretty good ways. The Queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon. Everybody's talking about that king in Israel. His name's Solomon. Oh, he has all the wisdom, all the riches. And you ought to see how he ascends up and worships his God. And she heard of the fame. Word got out concerning the name of the Lord. And she came to prove him with hard questions because she'd heard. And she said, howbeit, I believe not the words until I came and mine own eyes see it. And behold, the half was not told me. Thy wisdom and thy posterity exceedeth the fame which I heard. Who is the Son of God? Who's the Lord Jesus Christ? You know, when he began doing his ministry, everybody began to hear about him. That was his fame. You know what? He's really famous. People want to be famous, don't they? They want people to know who they are. That maybe they've done something they think is spectacular. There's only one famous. That's Mordecai, and that's our Lord. They've heard of the fame. That's why they're ruling. That's why they can stand and defend themselves, because of the fame. Everybody heard. In Luke 5:15, and so much the more went there a fame abroad of him. That's when he told a man, he healed him, I think he was a leper. And he told him not to go tell everybody. But so much the more went there a fame abroad of him. And great multitudes come together to hear him. Why do they want to come to hear him? Because they heard of him. And to be healed by him of their infirmities. Oh, that men would hear the fame of our Lord. And want to come and find out more about him. Because like I said, he's famous. He's famous. Verse 5. Thus the Jews smote all their enemies with the stroke of the sword and slaughter and destruction, and did what they would unto those that hated them. The Jews had victory over their enemies. They smote their enemies with the stroke of the sword, slaughter and destruction. They did what they would unto those who hated them. no one could stop them. But they want you to see this now. They did not do this out of a vindictive spirit. They didn't. It's like us preaching the gospel. Some men think, they may think we do it in a vindictive spirit. We're not. We're preaching the gospel. It's just what sets men free. Throw down your weapons. All you got to do is throw down your weapons. All you got to do is surrender. But if you fight, you're fighting a losing cause. It's death. It's death. Verse 6. And in Shushan the palace, the Jews slew and destroyed 500 men. He makes special mention of these 500 men that were destroyed. And notice where they were destroyed. They were destroyed in Shushan the palace. You mean they were in the palace? They were that many that were rebellious in the palace? Yes. They are still rebels. They still follow Haman. Even though that he's dead, they still follow him. They are enraged at his disgrace and his death. They want to defend him. Doesn't that sound familiar? People want to defend their free will, so-called free will. They'll defend it to the end. Well, why don't you just bow down? No, can't do that. Can't do that. We're going to defend it. Okay, they did. It didn't do no good. 500 died. 500 men lay dead. They were, most believe, of the house of Amalek. Then verses 7 through 11. And I'm not going to try to read those 10 names, but those 10 names are mentioned here in the scriptures. Verse 10, the 10 sons of Haman. He had 10 sons, just like him. They didn't fall far from the tree. And the 10 sons of Haman, the son of Hammedatha, the enemy of the Jews, slew they. But I want you to notice this, on the spoil they laid not their hand. In these verses, it's recorded the names of Haman's 10 sons. Some believe they may have been the ringleaders of the rebellion. Like I said, like fathers, like son. And they all died in one day. Haman is a picture of our flesh. In the flesh dwells no good thing. And all his sons must die. All that comes from the flesh must die. Remember how Saul got in a mess? He spared Amalek, King Agag. He spared him. Don't you spare any of it. Your flesh is sinful. You know what it says? I won't bother you too bad. I'm okay. You know, just let me live. Playing on your sentimental side. They said, no. These have to go. They're the enemy. And they were. Verse 12. Verse 11. And on that day, the number of those that were slain in Shushan the palace was brought to before the king. They give him an update of the battle. Verse 12. And the king said unto Esther the queen, the Jews have slain and destroyed 500 men in Shushan the palace, and they've destroyed the 10 sons of Haman. What have they done in the rest of the king's province? Now what is thy petition? And it shall be granted thee. Or what is thy request further? And it shall be done. He's giving her an update, and he's telling her, he said, is there anything else more we need to do? Then said Esther, if it please the king, let it be granted that the Jews which are in Shushan to do tomorrow also according to this day's decree, and let Haman's 10 sons be hanged upon the gallows. We need another day to finish the job. the 10 sons are already dead. So why hang them up? You know why they hang them up? It's a deterrent. Why are those 10 men hanging there dead? This is what happens. This is the judgment of God. This is the wrath of God. These men are rebels. There's many enemies that dwell in the palace of man's soul. They want to overcome. It's just like in the book of Joshua. When Joshua and them came into Canaan, you remember what the enemies did? They run and hide. There's things inside of us that want to hide. And you know what God did? They can't hide from him. He said, I'm going to send the hornets to sting them and drive them out. And when I drive them out, I'll take care of them. God knows what hornet to send in our path to sting us to bring those things out so he can destroy it. Like I said, the enemies of Shushan cannot all be caught in the first day. And therefore, those that lurk should be hereafter proved troublesome to the church by hatching new plots. Esther begs that Haman's sons be hanged for an example. You know, we're back where I come from in Wilkesboro. At our old courthouse, we used to have an old oak tree. They called it the Tory Oak. I think the Tories were rebels, I think in the Revolutionary War or something, and they would hang them. And they said, you know, they don't do that anymore. But they said the last hanging that they had, the sheriff said, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to hang him. Another man said, I'll hang you. So they probably put him on a horse and put a rope around his neck, and they slapped the rear end of that horse, and that horse ran out from under him and hung him. And everybody was there to see it. They said people was up on rooftop, and they said when they did that, people were fainting. They were falling. They'd never seen anything like that. You know what people used to do? That it was a deterrent to crime. Yes. They go, oh, that's too severe. If you know who the enemy is and how ruthless he is, he does not play fair. He will plot, he will scheme just to destroy you. Let me tell you, this world is not our friend. That so-called gospel they preach is no gospel at all. I think he made an example out of Sodom, didn't he? I think he made an example in the days of the flood, didn't he? I think he made an example of Korah and Dathan, who went to hell without packing a suitcase. I think he made an example out of them. Esther did not request this at a private revenge. She's not trying to get revenge. Why did she do this? She did it for the glory of God. God will punish sin. Why are we spared? It's only by his grace. Esther showed diligence in rooting out all of her temporal enemies. They've all got to die. It'd just be like, say, just so an illustration that we could maybe grasp. Remember in 2011, September the 11th, 2001, I'm sorry. He's just one man. But the man's driving the plane. You say, what can he do? He can't hurt many people. He's just one man. And how did he learn to fly that airplane? Did he not have to slip in? And we even trained him. And not only one man, but two. Took down two towers. Were they our friend? Or were they the enemy? That's what the enemy wants to do. It's just like Agag. I can see him say, Saul, please don't kill me. Please spare me. There's so many things. I want you to see this. There's so many things that lurk inside of us. That's the enemy. Do not spare it. Bible says mortify it. Means put it to death. Someone said, till we do this, we must never look to have true peace, either within ourselves or have peace with others. Didn't James say, why is there fighting and wars among you? Where does this come from? He said, even of your lust, that war in your members. I read this last week. I'm going to read it again in Colossians chapter 3, verse 8. He lists these enemies, which are pictured here. They won't spare them. Now put off all these, anger. You ever get angry? You ever had wrath? You ever had malice? You ever blasphemed? You ever had filthy communication come out of your mouth? Lie not one to another, seeing that you've put off the old man with his deeds. That's the old man. And you put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Well, there's neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision or uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond or free. But Christ is all and in all. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another. And you know, we have to bear each other's faults, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man hath a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also you do. All it takes just a little bit of unforgiveness, and you know what happens? It springs up to bitterness, whereby many are defiled. It's an enemy. Now, above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and be thankful. And then the king hanged the 10 sons of Haman. I thought about Joshua. He had a similar incident like this. He's fighting with the Amorites, and in Joshua 10, verse 12, then spake Joshua to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel. And he said in the sight of Israel, son, stand still upon Gibeon. Did the sun stand still? Yes. You know why? He wanted to defeat the enemy. If we just had a little bit more time, a little bit more daylight, we'd destroy him. And the sun stood still. And the moon stayed until the people had avenged themselves upon their enemies. And it's written in the book of Jasher, so the sun stood still in the midst of heaven and haste not to go down about a whole day. And there was these kings that hid into a cave. And Joshua said, put a thing over the cave. And then when they come back, they didn't forget them five kings. These are kings. These are rulers. He said, go bring them kings out. And they said, you take your foot and you put it on the neck of your enemies. And that ain't the end of it. Then he said, and afterward Joshua smote them and slew them and hanged them on five trees. And they were hanged upon trees unto the evening. And you know why he did it? It's all for the glory of God. You know why we preach the gospel? For the glory of God. You know why we want to see sinners set free? For the glory of God. You know why we point out enemies? For the glory of God. We're not ignorant of Satan's devices. See that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise men, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Verse 15. For the Jews that were in Shushan gathered themselves together on the 14th day, also the month Adar, and slew 3,000 men. 300 men at Shushan, but on the prey they laid not their hand. But the other Jews that were in the king's province gathered themselves together and stood for their lives. and had rest from their enemies, and slew of their foes 75,000, but they laid not their hand upon their prey. It mentions that three times in verse 10, verse 15, and verse 16. They had the right to take their spoil. They had the right that they could have taken it all, but they didn't. Let me read you this. The king's commandment warranted them to take the spoil of their enemies in chapter 8, verse 11. They had an opportunity to enrich themselves with all this spoil. If Haman's party had prevailed, no doubt they would have made use of the authority they had. They wouldn't have left anything. They would have seized upon their estates. And there's some reason why didn't they take the spoil? They had the right to it. Why didn't they take it? Number one, that they might, to the honor of their religion, evidence a holy and generous contempt of worldly wealth. After Father Abraham, who would not take the riches from the kings of Sodom, he said, because you would say, you made Abraham rich. Secondly, that it might appear that they aimed at nothing but their own preservation and used their interest at court for the savings of their lives, not for the raising of their estates. Number three, the commission empowered them to destroy the families, not only the men, but the whole families of their enemies, even the little ones and the women. But their humanity forbade them to do that, though that was designed against them. They slew none but those that were found with arms or a sword in their hand, and therefore they did not take the spoil. But you know what they did? Here's grace. They left it to the women and the little ones. You know what that is? That's grace. Haman would have never done that. Jeff, your flesh would never do that. Here's what the flesh would do. When the Abraham says, Lot, you pick out which one you want. And you know what the Lot says? You know what, Haman? I want the best. I want to live down there in Sodom. Oh, really now? And Abraham, he could have said, I'm taking this and you take what's left. But he didn't. And that's what these people did. They said, we're not taking the spoil. We're leaving it for them women and them children. Herein they acted with a consideration and compassion well worthy to be imitated. Compassion. Grace is compassionate. They said, why would you let us live? Why would you spare us? Because our God's gracious. Verse 16. But the Jews that were in the king's province gathered themselves together, and they stood for their lives and had rest from their enemies. Oh, thank goodness for rest. And they slew their foes, 75,000, but they laid not their hands on the prey. And on the 13th day of the month Adar, and on the 14th day of the same rested day, and made it a day of feasting and gladness. I entitled the lesson From Judgment to Jubilation. It's a day of feasting and gladness. But we're going to have a feast. We're going to all gather down at Jeff's house. And he's going to make some pork. And everybody's going to bring. We're going to have a feast. You know what we're going to do? We're going to celebrate. They're celebrating. And they have every right. You know what we do when we come in here? I hope this does not come across wrong. We come to celebrate what our Lord has done and what he's given unto us. We do celebrate it. It is a celebration. Every day. This is the day the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad. They had every right to be glad. You don't have any right to be sad. Be glad. Feasting in gladness. Verse 18. But the Jews that were at Shushan assembled themselves on the 13th day thereof, and the 14th day, and the 15th day. Then they rested and made a day of feasting and gladness. Verse 19. Therefore the Jews of the villages that dwelt in the unwalled towns made the 14th day of the month Adar a day of gladness, and feasting and a good day of sending portions to one another. They must have sent gifts to one another. Ain't that kind of ironic? Why? Because they wanted it. They may have sent gifts to the poor, but they send portions to others. You know why? We're all in this together. Reminds me of David when he's going to recover all after Ziklag, and 200 men are so weak they can't even go on. David said, "You just stay here and watch the stuff." And the 400 men went with David, and they captured and brought everything back and brought all the spoil back. And 400 said, "We're not sharing it with them 200. They didn't go fight with us." And David said, "Oh no, we're sharing alike." And that's how the Lord does. Oh, what a day of celebration. Can I say something this morning? We have right to celebrate. We don't just celebrate a day. We celebrate a person. Deliver him from going down into the pit. I found a ransom. That's something to celebrate. The enemy is defeated. And if God be for you, who can be against you? Lord willing, we'll pick up there next Sunday.